God, would you hold it up with me? If you believe it. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn to me the book of Acts, chapter 10? Book of Acts, chapter 10. I want to read two verses beginning at verse 37. This is very familiar to all of us. Acts 10, 37, it says, "You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." Would you bow with me in a word of prayer this morning? Father, we are very aware that when it comes to sowing the seeds of truth, the truth of your word, that like a farmer who is sowing seed, the enemy comes quickly to snatch that seed, to pervert that seed, to distort that seed, to make it so that seed is not effective in the lives of the hearer. Father, as you and I are talking this morning, you made it very clear the warfare that is going to surround this message. And I thank you that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I thank you that we are not afraid of the enemy. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are more powerful and you are faithful to take the seed that is sown, and you are able to cause it to take root and to bear fruit. And I thank you that you have already gone ahead. You have prepared the soil of every heart and every mind under the sound of my voice, that today this seed would have a harvest. Before we begin, Holy Spirit, I ask you again to take literal possession of my mind and my mouth. I invite you to flow through me so that I only say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. And with the authority that you have given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch and steal and pervert the seed. I command you now to release every person and be outside the walls of this building. And Father, I want to thank you that you are a God who speaks in such a way that your children hear your voice. I thank you that as I am speaking, you're going to be speaking more powerfully, and you're going to be saying things to your sheep that are not even going to come out of my mouth. Would you let those words be captured? Would you let them know it's you speaking? And would you give them the heart to be obedient to those words? And I thank you in advance, Lord, for what's going to take place today. And we will give you all the glory in the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus. And everybody agreeing said, amen. Amen. I want to tell you before I begin this morning, and we prayed into it, I am very aware of the warfare that is going to take place during this message today. Very aware of the battle that will happen inside of many of your minds. And we have been praying into that. We prayed into it even now. I would like you, as we are going through this, to just pray and be aware of what is going to hit you and take authority over that. The truth of the Word of God today, God is wanting to get through in order to bring about a change, not only in us individually, but in us as a church. And so I want to say that ahead of time. In thankfulness for what the Lord has already done and is going to do. I got to share with you what God has been laying upon my heart, and I would like to share with you what he used to begin to stir me in this area. How many of you have read, first of all, how many of you have received this book, Health Food Devotion? How many of you got, just raise your hand high, would you? Yeah, about 3 years ago, as a church, we put one in every mailbox for every person in the church to get. After we had done that, a number of you who became a part of us later, you found out about it and you purchased it. But this is one of those books. Can I ask you, for those of you who got this book, how many of you have actually read it through one time? Just raise your hand if one time you've read it. Bless you. Can I ask you, those of you who got the book, how many of you are still using it 3 years later? How many of you are using it? All right, a handful of us. I want to tell you, when I first picked up this book by Kenneth Hagin, probably about 4 years ago, somebody handed it to me and said, Carl, you need to have a look at this. I think it's something to be interested. I got to tell you honestly, it didn't take me long before the Holy Spirit began to say to me, Colin, I want you to put one of these books in the hands of every person in your church. I read a lot of books, and when you're finished them, it's like, you know, I wouldn't recommend that. Or I read the book, and it's like, for some people, it's like, there's some people I'd recommend it. Not a lot of books would I say, when you pick it up, I want that in every person. I'll tell you, this was one of those books. God said really clearly, Call, I want this book to be in the hands of every person in the church. Can I just say to you, I love to read. I didn't in high school. How many of you men loved reading in high school? Just raise your hand. Yeah, all three of you, four of you. How many of you learned to read later after high school, men especially? How many of you men learned to read later? Yeah, that was me. Don't raise your hand. How many of you men still don't read? Don't raise your hand, men. Don't. Good. I saw a few. God's going to do some changing. But I got to tell you, I've read some of the books that are good, some books not good, some books that are outstanding. This falls into the outstanding category. Can I just say that to you? It falls in the outstanding. And for any of us who are wanting not just to grow in our faith in the area of healing, but let me tell you, to become grounded in the Word. Any of us who are wanting to move from knowing with our head to understanding with our heart. Any of us who want to have the truths that grow our faith and we become more powerful and powerful as we hear the testimonies of other people. For those of us who want to have confessions that we can make over our own body and become mature in our faith in order to touch the lives of other people, can I say this to you? The Holy Spirit uses the pages of this book to do it. I don't say that about a lot of books. So I want to say this to you in these days. If you have one, I encourage you to pull it off your shelf or out of your drawer or out of that box. I encourage you to pull it out and begin immersing yourself in it. For those of you who don't have one, I want to encourage you to get one. Let us know. We'll help find you one. For those of you who have one and you know you're not going to use it again, would you bring it to the church so we can plant it somewhere else? Because this is a word that needs to be out there. I want to read from one of the dates some of what the Holy Spirit used to speak to me to not only bring us where we are today, but to take us where we're going to go for the rest of the year and possibly beyond. Can I tell you, it's true with not just the Bible. You can read the Bible over and over and over, and the sixth time all of a sudden you see something you've never seen. We've talked about that, right? I have read through this book probably going on my fourth time right now, and December 21st of this year, something spoke to me that had not spoke to me before. I want to read this to you. December 21, you know that it begins with a scripture and it ends with a confession. The scripture on that day was Luke chapter 9, verse 6, and it says, "And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." The name of the devotion is called Healing is the Dinner Bell. As a young pastor, just before my 24th birthday, I remember hearing Reverend Raymond T. Ritchie, a man who was used mightily by God in the area of healing, say, "Divine healing is the dinner bell." I knew exactly what he meant when he said that. At that time, people living out in the country had a big dinner bell on their back porch, and when dinner was ready, someone would ring the bell to let everyone in the fields know that it was time to eat. When I heard Reverend Ritchie say that, I wasn't having healing services at my church on a regular basis, but I said to myself, I'm going back home, and I'm going to start ringing the dinner bell. We had Wednesday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night services. I told the congregation, every Saturday night is divine healing night. I'm not going to preach on anything but divine healing. And so I started ringing the dinner bell. Listen to this. Initially, the crowd on Saturday night became smaller. And as far as I could ascertain, no one was getting healed. I would anoint them with oil and lay hands on them. I would have a healing line every Saturday night. Still, no one was getting healed, but I kept on ringing the dinner bell. Finally, after 6 months, things started breaking out. People started getting healed. I didn't understand it then, but I know now that when I first began teaching on healing, I was planting seed. And I had to keep watering that seed. And that takes time. I could have become frustrated and stopped holding healing services, or I could have resigned the church and left. But when the harvest came, I wouldn't have been there to enjoy it. Here's the confession. I plant the seed of God's word in my heart, and I continue to water that seed. Eventually, I will see a harvest of health and healing. Let me tell you the end from the beginning today. I'm going to share with you a few things that the God laid in my heart, and then we are going to have a time of healing ministry at the end of today. And then once a month for the rest of this year, one service a month is going to be dedicated to nothing but teaching on healing and having healing ministry. You'll understand it at the end. We are going to have a service that is dedicated to the part of the covenant that often gets overlooked or sidelined, and that is healing. I want to tell you a little of what the Father has been stirring in me for some time and was fanned into flame on that 21st devotion when I read it just before Christmas. For years now, since the Holy Spirit brought about a revelation of what took place on the cross of Calvary, and can I say this to you, when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about something that happened inside of Jane and I at the same time. Some of you in your marriages are experiencing either you are growing and your spouse is lagging and there is a conflict or a tension there, or some of you are lagging while your spouse is growing and that creates a tension. Can I tell you how amazing it is when you and your spouse get captured at the same time and the growth is like this? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. So when I talk about this, I am talking about something that God began doing in Jane and I together, moving our faith from a place where we believed God can heal. There was no question about the fact that we believed he could heal. The question always was, is it God's will to heal? And because we had experienced what so many of us have, if not all of us, and that is when someone is sick, we pray for them, and they end up not getting better. Or it takes a long time for them to get better, or they don't get better at all, and they end up passing away. It did to us what it did to all of us Well, it obviously wasn't God's will to heal him. There must have been a reason. Maybe he was teaching them something. You've heard that? Or because they died, obviously it was their time to go. And how many funerals have we been at where we have heard that the person is 70 or 50 or 30 or younger, and it's like, their time was up. God wanted him in heaven. This had to be his will. And because we didn't know better, we let our experience shape our theology, and we just had accepted it as normal that when we prayed and they weren't healed, that God must have had a reason, even if we didn't know it. That was our reality. That was many of your reality. Until the Holy Spirit began speaking something different into our lives, something that challenged what we had accepted as truth and revealed what we were believing wasn't real, wasn't true. Moving us from believing that God can heal, but he often chooses not to, to believe it is God's will to heal 100% of the time. And if we pray and don't see a healing, it's not God who wants them sick. It is something on our side that we're missing. Can I tell you, religion has a hard time with that one. Can I ask you a question? The transition Jane and I had to go through from believing God can to believing it's God's will, can I ask you, how many of you had to go through that transition somewhere in your life because you weren't raised with God's will to heal? How many of you have gone through that transition? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, most of us. I wasn't raised with this truth. I want to tell you honestly, I didn't get it in my home, in spite of the fact that in my home, we saw incredible miracles. And I have shared some of those with you. But let me tell you how they were understood. Well, we were lucky, or the word they used is we were blessed. And what that said to me is, when someone doesn't have a miracle, I guess they're not the blessed ones, right? That's how we understood it. I'll tell you honestly, I didn't get this in my church. And I'll tell you, this was not taught to me in my youth group. I didn't get this in the Bible school that I went to for 2 years to immerse myself in the Word. I didn't get it in the Bible school right here in this community. You want to know something more? I didn't get this from both seminaries that I went to. I thought for darn sure if I went to seminary to study to be a pastor that I would find truths that I didn't have before. The reality is, I didn't get it there. In fact, some of what I got there undermined what I later found to be true. Can I tell you one other thing? I didn't even get it in my Christian counseling at a born-again, spirit-filled Christian counseling center in Edmonton. I didn't get this there. I got God can heal, but it's not always his will to heal. So when we pray, let's just see what happens. And at the end of it, let's go, God, if it be your will, and if it doesn't happen, obviously it's not God's will. And we did that for years. Until God began to introduce us to those who believed differently. And because they believed differently, they were experiencing something we weren't experiencing. Faith comes by what, family? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can I also tell you, faith comes by experiencing, watching it happen right in front of you while someone is ministering with power. You look and you go, oh, it still works. And if it can happen through them, can it happen through me? Not because they were lucky, but because they believed something different than we believed. Isn't it amazing, as I said earlier, how you can read the same scripture for years and not see certain things because we read it with a lens of our belief system already, and that determines how we interpret it, and then all of a sudden, or maybe more realistically, slowly, 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 a chipping away over a period of time, all of a sudden a new set of lens comes over our eyes and we read something that we had never read before. I want to take you to a foundational scripture that all of us know, a pile of you have memorized. Would you turn with me to Psalm 103? Psalm 103. Let me read this for you, that people are still reading in churches all over the world and totally missing the truth of what this is saying. Psalm 103, beginning at verse 1, it says this: "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." Verse 2, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what? All his benefits. I was raised without an understanding of what the full benefit package was. So were most of us. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits." Look at verse 3. This is what messes you up. "Who forgives" how many? "All your sins and heals" how many? "Your diseases." Can I ask you, how can you read over that year after year after year after year and still not see it and still not believe it? Can I tell you, we have a lot of spiritual help making that happen. The forgiveness of our sin part, that we believed. And I'm sure that you believed. Because we were raised with that. We were taught that everywhere. That is what Jesus did on the cross. He died for my sin in order for me to be forgiven. I believe that. Praise God for that. Although I'll tell you a truth, it took me a little longer than just hearing it to actually come to the revelation that I truly am as holy as God and that I am his righteousness. I didn't get that right away either. I don't think you did either. But I still believe that that is why Jesus died, to forgive my sin. But to heal my disease? To fix my kidneys? To remove my diabetes? To take away the high blood pressure? To remove the migraine? To restore my joints that I damaged when I was young? To fix my organs on the inside that nobody talks about publicly? To grasp that point, to grasp that, like forgiveness, healing was part of the benefit package? That was new. And some of you remember when that revelation broke through in you after years in the church. Some of you, after years of ministry, it broke through and you went, "What?" It was new, but I'll tell you, when we began hearing it and seeing it, we knew that it was right. And all of a sudden, we began to see it in the Bible everywhere. Can I give you one more? And again, you know it off by heart. Would you flip with me over to Isaiah 53? Isaiah 53, verse 5. Put your eyes on it when you read it so the Holy Spirit can cause it to be branded on the inside of you. He was pierced for what? Our transgression. He was crushed for our what? Our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And what? by his wounds. By his wounds we are what? Healed. Not going to be healed, or maybe healed, or when we die, that is when the true healing happens. How many times have we heard that? Well, now they're in heaven. Wonderful that they're truly healed. Can I ask you, does that mean that we have to die and go to heaven to truly be forgiven? If healing doesn't happen till heaven, what makes us think forgiveness would happen before heaven? But let me say this. If I ask to be forgiven now, when am I forgiven? Now. And if I ask to be healed now, when am I healed? We know that now. We believe that now. We practice that now. We didn't back then. So when we got the revelation, it changed our life. I want to tell you, as young parents, and some of you have experienced this, our kids got hit with allergies. One of them severely. In fact, when we took Malachi in to get tested, before they even put the testing serum in him, as soon as the needle touched his arm, he instantly broke out, and they said, "We can't even do this." That's how bad he was. We initially took that as the given, that he would have allergies, and listen, we began to learn how to manage it, not to remove it. We began to learn how to manage the illness and not remove it. I want to say this, many of us in the body of Christ have settled for managing instead of removing. But I want to tell you, in the truth of what Jesus did began to break through. When the heart of the Father who has always been to heal, Jehovah Rapha, the God who what? Heals. Before Jesus, he was Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. When that broke through, it was no longer about managing his allergy. It was about, we got to remove this sucker from him. It was not allergy management, it was allergy removal. Can I tell you, it was not cancer management, it was cancer removal. Can I tell you, it was not diabetes management, it was diabetes removal. Can I tell you, it was not AIDS management, it was AIDS removal. Can I put whatever you want in there? This is not about managing, this is about removing. You show me one place in Scripture when Jesus came in contact with someone who was in bondage to the devil because he made them sick and he said, "I'm going to empower you to manage that sucker, not remove it." Show me one. So when God began breaking through, can I tell you, here at home, people began getting healed. When I traveled to India, had the privilege in the early years of my ministry, went over there and began ministering, people were healed. When some of us traveled from here to Fiji and did ministry in the Hindu mountains and down below, people were getting healed. When we went to Africa the first time, Reg and I, and after that a team, and after that the second team, we went over there and we ministered, people were healed. We believed it. And we began enjoying the newfound benefit of the salvation package. I want to tell you something you already know. 2019, when COVID broke out in China, and then it made its way over to Europe, and then it's made its way over to America, then it came to Canada, then it came to Camrose. Finally got here. You know, we did what we have always done regarding the annual flu shot. That flu that comes and wants to knock on our door and wants to come in and visit us for about a week or so, I got to tell you, I even heard it again this year, just the other day. Someone went, "Well, this is flu season." Everybody's going to get it. How would you answer that? I said to that person, I said, you will. I said, I won't. That's directly out of How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies. That went over like a rat sandwich, I'll tell you. When COVID came knocking on our door, in the early part of 2020, we did in here what we had been doing with a flu shot every year. We stand, we declare Psalm 91, we take our flu shot. People have asked me for years, did you get your flu shot? I said, yep. If that's all they asked, that's all they found out. I took my flu shot, just depends how you define it. In 2020, we stood, we took our Psalm 91 flu shot, and can I tell you, in the entire year of 2020, we only had one person in November, December of that year. They were new to our church, new to the teaching of the covenant. Only one person got COVID. None of the rest of us did in 2020. Praise the Lord. This thing was moving all around us, but it didn't touch us. 2021. In the last 12 or 14 months, I want to tell you, when the Delta variant came out, probably half of our church was hit with Delta. And after Delta has made its way through and Omicron came, more than half of our church has been hit. Whether you're vaxxed or unvaxxed, it doesn't matter. We're hit with Omicron, and there are still those in our church who are battling the symptoms of Omicron. I want to say this carefully. In this last year, we have had more people who have been attacked by sickness, and those who have ended up passing away, and praise God, they went to heaven. In this last year, we have had more of that than in the 27 years previous of our ministry here. And as a result of that, there are some of us in here who are now dependent upon medications to manage your condition. It doesn't remove it. And can I say this to you? And you got to hear me, because I have been so misinterpreted for so long. Praise God for medication. Praise God for the pharmaceutical that has come up with things that when we need them, they are there. But can I tell you, when we don't need them, they don't have to be there. If anybody ever says to you, that Pastor Colin, he is totally against medication, you just go, you're lying, you're flipping face off. I heard it directly from the horse standing in front of the well. Let me tell you straight, I'm not against medication. What I am against is lifetime dependence on medication. Because I believe God can heal. I want to say this carefully to you again. I'm just not talking about physical healing. Some of you who have battled depression and are still battling depression, some of you who are on antidepressant medications and you have been told over and over, you can never go off this medication because chemically you are imbalanced, and if you go off, you're going to go into a downward black pit and you will never come out of that pit again. So you need to be on that medication your entire life. Can I say to you, praise God for the medication that's holding you now, but there is a truth that can set you free from that medication in the future, maybe today or tomorrow. There are some of us who have been attacked by sickness and disease, and even after prayer, have still needed to get surgery to deal with that issue. Can Can I say this again? Praise God for doctors. Praise God for hospitals. Praise God for surgery. Most of us wouldn't be here today if it were not for that at some time in our life. But can I say to you, when we are walking in our covenant promise of healing, is it possible the time may come where we don't need that? I believe it is time to do what Reverend Raymond said probably 50 or 60 years ago in this area. It's time to ring the dinner bell. How many of you had one of these growing up? All five of you? We had this hanging outside of our house for years, and then it slowly worked its way to the garage. As God began speaking to me, I had to go find that dinner bell because the Lord laid in my heart and said, "Call, you got to ring that sucker. You got to ring that bell physically because I'm going to begin ringing that bell spiritually." Let me tell you what God laid in my heart. When he had led the Israelites out of Egypt, he led them out how? Healthy, whole. The Bible says there was not one sick, there was not one weak, there was not one depressed, there was not one infirmed. That was before Jesus. God not only wants his body healthy, can I tell you, he needs his body healthy. Just like he wants us walking in forgiveness, he wants us walking in health. Who? For us first. Can I tell you, when I walk in health, I am the first beneficiary of that. But after I benefit, let me tell you what you know. As an alien in this world, full of people who are needing Jesus, full of people who are in bondage to sin and bondage to sickness, full of people who are in bondage to depression and bondage to illness and bondage to cancer and bondage to COVID and bondage, we could just go through the entire... Can I tell you, they need someone to come into their life and to speak some good news to them. They are needing people who live differently and people who are healthy, people who walk in power and authority, people who not only bring forgiveness, but the benefit of healing. And how does Jesus do it now? Through you and through me. He gives it, and then through us, going around Acts 10:38, doing what Jesus did, good works, and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, healing the sick. But it begins here. This is for us, God's kids. For whatever reason, as a body in this last year, we have been hit and we have been attacked and we are not experiencing the full benefits of what Jesus died for. I want to tell you straight up. But that's going to change. I'm going to ring that physical dinner bell every service that we have focusing on healing and having a time of ministry. I'm going to ring that bell physically so that it is heard in the spiritual realm. Today we're going to pray. Zach, could I have you come? I want to tell you, when Kenneth Hagin made a statement, it said for the first 6 months when they began praying for people, he said they saw nothing. Who really was one of the fathers of the healing movement in our day, in this whole area? Who is one of the fathers You'll all know his name, John Wimber. When John Wimber began preaching through the Gospels and he got to the book of Luke, and all of a sudden in the book of Luke, he began just seeing that Jesus went around healing. John Wimber said he began teaching and preaching healing in his church, and he said for 1 year, the people got sicker. He said there was more people who died in the first year that he began teaching and preaching on healing than he says before that, but he said after that year, something happened and it broke out, and the Vineyard movement changed the world. There's not a lot of people who are willing to press through when things don't go well. Yeah, I'll give it a week. I'll give it 3 weeks. And if it doesn't happen, I'm settling. Give me the meds. Give me the drugs. Give me the I'll manage this for the rest of my life. No. Jesus never said that. Jesus never taught that, and Jesus never did that in the lives of people who forgave all of our sin and healed all of our diseases. I'll tell you what you know. For a lot of you, there is a battle that is raging inside of you. You have prayed and not been healed. You have been anointed and not been healed. You have believed and not been healed. You have confessed and not been healed. And you battle and you battle, and it's like, I'm doubting, I'm struggling. It's like, God, what's the deal here? I guess I'm going to have this the rest of my life. Can I tell you today, those words from the pit of hell are going to be broken. And the words of life and healing are going to begin being spoken until they manifest, whether it is one time or 6 months or 1 year or I don't care how long. If he died for it, if it's in the package, I want to believe and receive. I know for some of you, I have touched on a very sensitive area because the dependency on your drugs is powerful. Can I tell you, there is something more powerful? Would you bow with me this morning? Holy Spirit, thank you. It has never been the voice of a man that has brought revelation and freedom, but it has been your voice, Holy Spirit. It has been you speaking into the hearts and minds of those who need to hear the truth that sets free. I want to say thank you today that you have prepared every heart and every mind for what you are wanting to do in this place. I thank you again that you have brought us. You have allowed us to see with unveiled eyes Psalm 103. That you forgave all our sin. And you healed all of our sickness. That by your wounds we have been healed. And so, Father, today in obedience to you, we have rung the dinner bell. We have sent out the call for those who are living with less than, those who have settled, those who have bought the lie of dependency for life to manage and not be rid. The sound has gone forth. And it's only you who release the power and the boldness to challenge the lie and to walk in the freedom of truth. Father, I thank you that you have already released a grace over those today who have, not because they wanted to, but because of past experience, have come to a place where they have just believed it's going to be there, believed it's always going to be there, believed it's not only going to not change, but probably get worse. Thank you for the grace to challenge that and to begin believing Jesus. I do believe you paid the price. I do believe that by your wounds, I do believe you want me healthy. If 7 million Israelites can walk out of Egypt with not a single infirmed, with not a single sick, with not a single depressed, what a picture of what you want for the body of Christ today. And so today, Father, we want to believe and we want to receive. Let me share with you how we're going to do this. In a moment, I'm going to invite those of you who are going to begin to stand and believe for your complete healing, your complete deliverance. Those of you who are going to believe, yes, I'm on medication now, but I'm going to believe for healing so that it's gone. Those of you who have heard the word and said, this is degenerative, it's not going to change. Those of you who have had the word and said, this condition is going to be with me the rest of my life. For those of you who are going to challenge that and go, God, I'm going to put my faith in you, put my faith in your wounds. Put my faith in the word. I'm going to invite you to come and stand at the front. What Jane and I are going to do this morning is we are just going to come. We're going to anoint you with oil. In obedience to the word of God, we're going to lay hands on you in obedience to the word of God, and we are going to speak the will of God over you, which is for health and healing. We're going to do this one Sunday every month this year. And if we need to, we're going to keep doing it. Because I declare over you that the Father's heart is for not one of us in this place to be sick, not one of us to be infirmed, not one of us to be in bondage, but for us to experience the benefit package. First for you. And then we're going to talk about how through you would you bow with me for a moment? Jen, you got something to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, the Lord's brought up 2 points. One is, and I think it needs to be said, I really feel strongly that the reason why Solid Rock, after walking in a lot of divine healing for a long time, I really believe that what happened to us in this last year, particularly 2021, was a spirit of distraction that was assigned to this church. And one of the best ways to get you off your game, get you out of focus, is to get you hurting. There's nothing worse than a hangnail to keep you from doing something, right? There's nothing worse than a, you know, whatever. And I really believe a spirit of distraction that we had to battle quite a bit with last year. The other thing that the Lord just brought to my mind is he said to me that there are people here who you're having this conversation with yourself right now. The Lord is this is truth, but how would that look in me? How would that look in me? I take this medicine every morning with supper or with breakfast, and I take it every night with supper, and if I don't take it, then this could happen or that could happen. How will, like, that's really scary. And what I want to say is the Lord has a way. He has a way of bringing the manifest, the finished work of the cross. He has a way to bring it about in your life that blows away all of those, you know, demonic what-ifs. And it's, he's not necessarily saying to you today, throw your medicine out. That's not what this is. And please don't get hung up on that. Don't get hung up on that. You come forward in faith and you say, I'm taking my healing today. I'm taking what you did for me, Jesus, and I thank you for it. Now I thank you for it. And somehow he has a way for you to get off those medicines. He has a way. I don't know how many diabetic people or people who've had diabetes I know who will say, you know, I test my sugars and everything's fine. I don't have to take that Metformin or whatever that pill is called. I don't understand. I haven't taken it for days. And I keep testing my blood, and it's fine. God has a way to do this. You don't have to figure out what that is. You just need to be a faithful kid who comes forward and takes what he's done for you. Let him figure out how he's going to get your knee better. Let him figure out how he's going to get your blood restored. Let him figure out how he's going to fix that thyroid. It's not your baby. It's his.
That's right. Would you bow with me for a moment? Father, I want to say thank you. You are speaking. You know the battle that's raging. But thank you that greater is he who is in us. I thank you again that you have revealed your heart so incredibly clearly. I thank you that you have revealed the lie to be a lie and the truth to be a truth. And I thank you that you have given us the faith to believe. But on the cross of Calvary, not only did you pay for the forgiveness of our sin, you paid for the healing of our bodies and our minds. This morning, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you are at that place where you're going, God, I want that. I need that. I want to invite you to come where you are from where you are. I want you to come and stand at the front. Would you stand with me in closing today? Father, thank you. Thank you for peeling back the lie. And thank you for planting inside of us the revelation of truth. That on the cross of Calvary, Jesus purchased the forgiveness of all of our sin and the healing of all of the diseases. Father, thank you for what happened here today. And thank you again. We are able to declare the end from the beginning. In the name of Jesus, we declare every person in this body healthy, every person whole, every person restored, every person not dependent on medication, every person walking in divine health, stepping out of Egypt and into the promised land. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Father, would you not only seal what you have done today, but would you bring it back? And I release an anointing of healing over this body that this week we would go out and we would become instruments of healing even during this season of our life. Going around doing good and healing those who have been in bondage to the enemy. We believe it and we receive it. I declare to you today as a child of God what you already know. The Lord has blessed you and he is keeping you. The Lord has caused his face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you and filled you full of his peace. And by his wounds, you have been healed in Jesus' name. God bless you, church. Let the Holy Spirit ring that dinner bell in and through your life all week long. We'll see you next Sunday.